You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. Happy New Year to all you beautiful guys and gals. I am here once again with my esteemed co-host, Dara Maher. He is back into his house today.
I'm here and in person. You're here. Over Skype.
You're here. Yeah. So, we're obviously here. It's obviously the 28th of December as we record this. You guys and gals will hear this, obviously, before New Year's.
It's one of those things. Do you get it as well? When
what's it?
Around Christmas time, you just lose track of what day it is.
Yeah.
I had to be reminded today that today was Saturday.
Oh, I thought it was Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's Christmas is a clusterfuck in terms of when it comes to days. You don't care. Just all about the days. It's Stephen's Day. It's New Year's Day. It's just days.
It's just days, yeah.
You know? So there's no... But look, here we are. Obviously, this is going to be our first of many, hopefully, end of year awards. I think the best place to start with I guess today, before we get on to the actual awards and looking at what people voted and didn't vote, would be to kind of look back at the year and kind of maybe not review it as such, but have a look,
maybe have a general look in it. You know, we could talk about sort of the main sort of talking points of the year
for sure.
You know, a lot of things have happened this year. Obviously, we saw the introduction of AEW. This was its first year, of course.
Very true.
I think it was like September it started, wasn't it?
It did, yeah.
So it was quite late in the year it started. But obviously, it starts... We have different views on it, but I think we agree in a lot of areas about what needs to happen with AEW.
Yeah.
There's certain things going on that we don't agree with. One thing that's interesting, though, that I'll get your point of view on.
Go for it.
We saw that it was announced that starting on the first show in January, that all of the win-loss records for all of the competitors goes back to nil.
Which kind of makes zero sense to me.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's just, I think it's almost a way for them to kind of look back at what they've done and kind of, it's their way of saying what we've done so far is shit, so we should actually just, we should just go to default.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that the new year brings a new start. So am I, to be honest with you. I honestly don't think AEW can look back at what they've done so far and say it's been a major success yet. It hasn't. I think you would agree there. I don't think it's been an out-and-out success. I think when you're looking at the house, you know, the house on live show,
mm-hmm.
Especially on TV tapings, like recordings, live recordings, I mean, half the arena is empty. I know that's not the case anymore, that all the houses have to be full.
That's an interesting thing, though, because I thought a bit about that. And these are obviously big arenas that AEW are trying to fill. And obviously it's easier for NXT to fill their one because it's a smaller one. But looking at the likes of Raw and SmackDown, they have empty arenas when they go to. Is the age of people going to live events over now with such easy access to the shows online and on TV?
I don't believe so. I mean, WWE can afford to not have you know, a sellout crowd.
Yeah, it's not about affording or not. I think it's not whether people don't like the product or not, because they're still, like, for the most part, they were doing better in the viewership numbers. And I think maybe it's because the age of going to shows is finished. I think people would rather watch them. I think a lot of people who are casual fans would be more interested in watching it at home in the comfort of the TV. Now, you obviously still have these diehard fans that will still go and go to every show and stuff. And look, I could point out people that are at every WWE pay-per-view. I think they have the same crowd at the front row, and it's the same for even the local, say, OTT shows. It's the same people at the front row of every show too. But I think the casuals are more interested now in saying, oh, I can watch that live from my own TV, or in the case of OTT, I can watch the catch-up and I can just pay for that instead of paying for a ticket.
I don't believe so. I think you know, look, there's always going to be this has been spoken about in 1995, and now we're speaking about it in 2019. Wrestling comes in stages of live fans being there, live fans not being there. I don't think just because people can watch it in the comfort of their own home that it's going to take away from the live environment. People still love going to shows, hence why WWE makes a killing every night of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might not sell it out every night of the week, but there's a good chance that they're selling out most of it every night of the week. Okay. AEW are in a position where they can't afford to have low houses.
Yeah.
Or can't afford to have low viewership. And that's what's happening now. NXT is starting to creep up and beat them pretty much all the time. And it seems like AEW's backs is against the ropes at the moment. You've got the likes of Vince Russo and people like that coming out now and saying, look, maybe we should try and help them rather than, you know, critique them. You know, because they know how important this is. Because if this one fails, there is not going to be another.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be another billionaire that's going to come in and say, I'll throw my hat in there. They won't, because all the eggs are in this basket. I think the problem that we have now is that there's a couple of people using a billionaire's money to kind of do what they want to do, and forgetting that there's a big team involved here. You know, I'm not mentioning names there. I think we can all kind of assume, you know, who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of guys and girls backstage that have a lot more experience in dealing with weekly television than the elite have, you know. They've never been stars anywhere in America. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Jericho and bar Cody. And Jericho and Cody Moxley seem to be segregating themselves. Well, and Moxley, yeah, but he's not part of the elite, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This elite group, you know, the YouTube elite. They seem to be the ones that seem to be calling most of the shots and getting their friends on TV and stuff. And I do, you know, it sounds like I'm doing a cornet thing, but I'm actually not. I think off the back of what I said last week, I'm really, you know, hoping for this to succeed. I think most people are. So I'm not doing a Jim Cornette here saying, oh, kill, fucking get rid of everybody. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the likes of Cornette and the people that have experience in TV know what it takes to make a successful wrestling TV show. So maybe they should listen instead of just going, oh, you're against me. If you're not with us, you're against us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a network like TNA have pulled the plug on one of their biggest shows before, and they'll do it again. And I fear for AEW if they don't pick it up. Do you need, listen, saying that we have a core group, oh, we have 100,000 fans, 200,000 fans, that's who we're aiming for. They're not going to be with you every week in every different state. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to go and fill out the arenas in every different state every different week. What, Jericho can always go back to WWE, they'll take him back gladly. Cody would as well, no problem. The rest of them won't. The Joey Janelas aren't going to be signed by WWE. Do you know what I mean? This is their chance to shine. But what people need to know is the backstory of these guys. The Adam Pages, like I said last week, who is Adam Page? What makes him tick? Why all of a sudden is he on the verge of turning heel when we don't even recognize him as a babyface yet? These are questions that need to be answered. Instead of giving, you know, Marco Stunt 20 minutes in a wrestling ring, flinging around Pentagon Jr. and flinging around everybody else, maybe we can have 5 minutes of building characters and have vignettes of these characters the way WWE used to do, where they come in and they talk about what they wanted, and instantly in the corner of your screen, you were like, oh, that guy's a bad guy, that guy's a... So, I don't know. That's just my 2 cents worth, but I think it makes sense. I think it's, you know, it's nothing new. It's not, this isn't like words of pearls that I'm giving people that they don't already know. But I do think, yeah, people are starting to get sick of, like, no one even knows who Kenny Omega is yet. Mm-hmm. Unless you know who Kenny Omega is.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? The layman doesn't know who Kenny Omega is, other than this guy that runs around with his arms in the air looking like a really athletic big fairy. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a real good athlete. But he still runs around going, yeah. Like, your little computer game fantasy doesn't really get you anywhere other than your own mind. You need to project that to the masses and convey what you're trying to, you know, what your vision is. You need to kind of canvas that and articulate it across to the average fan who doesn't know who you are and make them a fan. If you can't do that, then you're not getting over, because that's what getting over is, surely, yeah? Mm-hmm. Getting over is getting over to the fan that doesn't know who you are, and you make a fan out of them. If you're just going, oh, well, we're going to concentrate, well, then you should have just done a YouTube fucking series like NWA Power, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I know more about who Eli Drake is now in a couple of episodes of NWA Power than I know about Hangman Page, who I'm a fan of. Kenny Omega, who I'm a fan of. I know more about these NWA characters than any of them. And they have a YouTube series. They're not on a multi-million,
mm-hmm.
you know, multi-million dollar TV contract. So I think the points I'm making here are valid. And anyone who disagrees with them are wrong, basically.
Does the respected commentary teams have something to do with that as well?
Or
do you think they're at fault? Or do you think the likes of JR and... who is it? Tony
Excalibur?
Schiavone and Excalibur.
Well, I mean, Tony Schiavone...
They're at fault for not... pushing.
No, because I mean they're working
I know they're working what they have, but
they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit at the moment, and they're giving a backstory on I mean JR is doing a great job, as he always does, of giving a backstory on Jungle Boy and stuff like that, and he's letting him, but all JR has got is literally a bio sheet of this guy is Luke Perry's kid, and he calls him, oh, you know, Jungle Boy, blah blah blah, oh, you here. Here's Hangman Page. Yeah, he used to be a teacher. He used to be this, blah, blah, blah. But if JR doesn't know, they have to go off what the character is doing in the ring, too. JR has always said that. It's easy to blame the commentator. Mm-hmm. You can't blame a commentator for a worker not getting over.
Mm-hmm.
You can never blame a commentator for a worker not getting over.
No, I'm not saying in terms of the getting over, but in terms of the storytelling aspect.
There is no story. But there is...
see, just what I'm trying to get at is...
Go for
is it up to... Not up to the commentators, but is it up to the people in charge that they are going to have to say to the commentators, look, okay, this is safe. Let's use Kenny as an example, right? Is it up to them to loosen the belt, say, in terms of letting more of... giving more backstory to who that person is and putting it through into the microphone of the commentators, like saying, like, I've not heard anything in terms of his past with New Japan.
No, and they're not going to, because it's a new company.
I understand, but everyone has a past.
Okay, well, so why can't the character get out there and do it? It's never up to the commentator. If you
but no, I'm not saying it's the competition, but I'm just trying to do is, like, is this a good way of moving forward in terms of because they're not going to give a 5-7 minute vignette of each person.
It doesn't have to be a 5-7 vignette.
It doesn't. It can be angles
the same way they've got a 2-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks about the Attitude Era. Everyone talks about Nitro. Nitro was a 3-hour show. Mm-hmm. Yet guys like Jericho were able to get over in 30 seconds. people knew who Jericho was the following week because he threw a tantrum the week before because he didn't get the win. And people went, Jesus, I have to tune in to see this guy. Mm-hmm. People knew who DDP was because he was the People's Champion because he said no to the NWO in a split second, 2 minute vignette, a 2 minute promo. Yeah? These guys have 2 hours on TV and they're just interested in going out and performing. So if it's up to the commentators to get them over, then the commentators should be getting the wrestler's salary. That's how I look at it. Because obviously the guys are fucking not able to get themselves over. No, on national TV.
Yeah, it's not that like it should be the sole job of the commentators to get them
it's
over.
It's the bookers and the TV writers that need to get them over. Yes, 100%. Yeah. The guy who's writing the show is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because
but then
that's
what I'm trying to say is the guy who's writing the show, should he also go to the commentator and say, okay, this is the angle that we're pushing?
The guys that are writing the shows are the ones going there, and all they're doing is giving them a bio and telling Excalibur to basically ejaculate every time Kenny Omega does a knee to the face, whatever that's called. What's the name of that move?
V-Trigger!
That's all I ever hear out of Excalibur. And JR is just getting bored and fed up with these stupid Spanish enunciations on moves that the American public doesn't get. It's called a suicide dive. Do you know what I mean? But this guy's going, I remember. It's Mark's running the show. That's what I'm getting from it. And I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all Marks in our own right. That's not said with ill intent to anybody to make them feel, you know, like they're, you know, less than. But basically, essentially, they're showing me that they're a Mark company at the moment because it's a Mark owner. Who's coming up with these stupid ideas of, oh, we're going to have these win-loss records. But this week, we're going to have Jungle Boy wrestle Jericho, who hasn't won a match. And now, in the new year, there's not going to be a win-loss record. They're going to start from scratch. So anything that's happened already is going to be wiped clean. So to me, it looks like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Now, they have a beautiful production. They've probably one of the best productions. In a lot of ways, it's better than WWE.
Yeah.
It's very flashy, it's very colourful. They've got elements of Nitro, so they've got the old school fans in terms of how it looks. They've got the smaller ring. They've got the potential to hook in the Atlanta crowd, which is where they are. Atlanta GA, which is fucking basically the home of the Freebirds, the home of WCW. But they're not doing enough. It's lazy booking. It's like they've went into it with a holier than thou attitude of, well, people should already know who we are. The bookers that you're talking about are the ones running the show, and hence why they're just saying, once you just mark out and really get my move over on commentary, that'll be okay with me, you know. And then you've got the tag team basically coming out and saying, you just let them know that we're up there with the Freebirds, and you know, we're that's what we want from this. And then Cody's coming out being the next Triple H, and you know, Cody's the one that looks like a star. Jericho's the only one getting any type of, I guess, interest when it comes to in-ring promos or in-ring activity in terms of dialect with other performers. The stuff he had with Cody was really good. Then you've got guys dressed in onesies, fucking suits, throwing fake punches. That looks like the most ridiculous thing that we've ever seen, which lends itself to the likes of the Bob Cooks of this world and the Jim Cornettes of this world that go, see, I told you, they don't give a shit. Whoever that young lad is should be sacked straight away, fired, boom, no questions asked. Whoever that was throwing those punches at Dustin should be fired. 100%. Yeah. Whoever that was.
I know, I agree.
He has no place in the wrestling business, no place on TV, no place in wrestling, full stop. Get back to the fucking drawing board, kid, because that's a disgrace. Lazy and disgraceful. And it's disgraceful booking as well. I want AEW to succeed, but I am at the point now where, yep, if they're going to take back those win-loss records and they're going to say in the new year that we're going to start all over again, that would be a good idea. And I would get someone in who knows how to write TV. That would be my recommendation. Whether it's a fucking Vince Russo, you know what? It wouldn't be too fucking far-fetched nowadays, because what I'm seeing right now, don't forget, Russo got TNA the biggest viewership they ever had. 2 million people watched TNA for 3 weeks in a row, you know that? That was under Russo. I give Russo a lot of shit on this, but I'm telling you, they're at that point now where they need somebody They really do need somebody. And they need to write TV so that they can get a little bit of context on these characters. You don't need 5 minute, 7 minute, 8 minute vignettes. You might need a vignette that's 30 seconds long saying, hey, I'm fucking Jimmy the fucking kid and I'm here to tell you that next week you're going to... Whatever. Do you know, something stupid. Old school doesn't necessarily always mean it's shit. The reason it's old school is because it worked. But you can modernize old school. You don't have to throw it out of the fucking window altogether. This is my 19-minute rant at the start of the show, just on what I'm seeing at the moment. What I'm seeing with NWA Power, there's good and there's bad. But there's a lot of good when you're seeing guys getting over. Like, why isn't Nick Aldis, like, one of their stars on look how he's getting himself over on TNA. Everyone's talking about him. Like I say, Eli Drake, one of the hottest commodities there. Like, brilliant star. What an amazing talker as well. They're not letting guys go out and do promos. Guys need to go out and do promos, whether they're shit or not. Because the only way they're going to get better is by doing them. Like, even if Jungle Boy's shit on the mic, let him say something. Let him talk on behalf of... his dad was an actor. I'm sure he's pretty handy with a fucking camera in front of his face.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to hear Luchasaurus speak, because he's meant to be demonic. Same way we don't need to hear fucking... Big Boy from WWE speak, but we hear him all the time.
Jack Hager.
Oh, in WWE, fucking.
Oh, sorry, Big Boy in WWE.
What's his bloody name again? Now you see, I'm on a rant about AEW. Braun Strowman. There we go. Didn't need to hear him speak. His character went downhill as soon as he started speaking. Do you know what I mean? It's less is more with some people, but 100%. They need to go and look at themselves again and try and reboot.
Yeah.
Because it's not too late. I don't think it's too late, but definitely they need to reassess what they're doing.
Well, I won't go too more into it because I know you want to take a break anyway for a second. But let me throw a name out there and just see, because I don't think they're going to bring Russo in because I think they have public beef with Russo.
Yeah, I just used Russo as an example.
Yeah, one person who could lend their hand to it, and he has got a past, especially with WCW and stuff.
Bischoff. 100%. Let's talk about Bischoff when we come back from this break.
Okay. No, let's talk about him now. We'll talk about him now.
You want to talk about him now? Let's talk about him now. You don't need the break?
Like, he's...
Bischoff is a tailor-made... I think Bischoff is... It's a match made in heaven. To be honest with you, Bischoff could go in there as a consultant, as an advisor. Doesn't have to be running the show, but dude, you could get him in to lend his ear. WWE brought him in for a reason. They made him a scapegoat. It wasn't right either what they'd done with Bischoff. I know multiple people have come out and said, I think Tony Schiavone said that he wouldn't work at WWE anymore with the way they treated him. That's neither here nor there. That's not my opinion. I don't know. I mean, look, we're a small podcast here in Ireland. I don't know exactly what, you know, the narrative there was, and I also don't know what the conversation there was. Bischoff doesn't seem to bother him. He's happy, but I would agree with you there. Do you wanna maybe explain a little bit what you think Bischoff could do?
I just think if Bischoff is one of them that I think he was brought back to WWE for a reason, because they saw something in what he had. In his own head.
To run their main show.
That they wanted to run SmackDown with. Yeah. And for one reason or another, it didn't work out. Yeah. Maybe his ideas were too far-fetched for Vince and he didn't like it. But...
Which is saying something, isn't it? When you've got Lana and Rusev on TV.
Well, see, that's a different conversation, actually, that we can ask. Because on that show, it was meant to be Paul Heyman running that show. Yeah. That Lana and Rusev thing, that's not a Paul Heyman thing. And I don't think anything on that show recently is a Paul Heyman thing.
Me neither. But we'll get on to that. Like, but I do, and that's the context we're talking about. Is like, Bischoff wasn't trying to bring any Hogan into it.
No.
No one's trying to bring Hogan into it.
No.
Do I think Bischoff could do? Yeah, I think Bischoff could do more for AEW than AEW can do for themselves at the moment. I think that's the best way that I can articulate that. I think Bischoff knows more than the smart marks in the crowd that, you know, just want to see stupidness at times. I'm not saying all them fans, but there is an element of fans, and it's a small element of fans, that want to see stupidity. But then, they're the same fans that are engrossed, like I mentioned last week on the show with Finn Martin, that are engrossed when they see a Cody versus Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh shit, what did I just witness there? Well, what you just witnessed there is storytelling. And you didn't even know it. So this, like I say, there is a place for these, you know. I mean, I'm adapting. So you know what I mean? Yeah. You know this. I'm adapting every week on this show. So I see there's a place for, you know, the Orange Cassidy's and all. But I think the place with these Orange Cassidy's as well is when they're tipping the shin of someone like a Pac. The only place for them after that is to get absolutely demolished by that wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go the next week. Do you know what I mean? So they have their, that's their niche, that's their thing.
Yeah, well, like, especially with the Orange Cassidy thing, I didn't mind the whole thing where he, like, he tapped Pac on the shin and blah blah blah. But see, the way to continue that, I felt myself, and like, you know myself, I'm a stickler more for storyline than I am for actual
wrestling. Yeah, yeah.
For a continuation.
This is why I'm eager to actually know your opinion on what you think Bischoff can do.
What should have happened next week was they should have had him. They should have been like, Pac should have came into the back, had an interview afterwards. He should have been given out saying, why is this useless guy thinking he can tap me on the shin and thinking he can beat me?
I want him.
I want him next week. Next week destroys him.
Destroys. Like, there's destroys. No contest. Yeah.
Like, he tries this tap thing and then Pac just gives him a kick in the face and then, you know, puts him in the Rings of Saturn submission, taps him out straight away and just makes him realise that, look, there's levels here and Pac is at this such a high level that, like, none of this, it's actually quite appropriate for a football term, tiki-taki, with Orange Cassidy, like, doesn't have a place with this top guy, with Pac.
You're not on my level.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Don't get me wrong. I still think there's a place for Orange Cassidy and in AEW and stuff like that. But going up against elite guys,
there was Santino Marella back in the day. People like seeing Santino Marella doing the snake, you know, the cobra.
And every now and again, you had him have this like moment where he was going up for, say, he was one of the last in the Royal Rumble or something like that.
He dressed up as his sister at one point.
Exactly. Or he was like in the last of a 6-man elimination and the winner would get a chance at the title, you know.
Yeah.
It gives fans that little bit to make them think, oh, there's a chance. But then you just continue with the realistic storylines and then people were like, oh, that would have been great if Santino did this. But like, he came so close. So people still think they're still being told that, like, yeah, like, he can still be legitimate one day. But then in reality, he's like, no, he's not. He's not going to win. You
know? Exactly. Yeah.
But it still gives people the benefit of everything. You know, it's the best of both worlds.
It's, you're teasing it, but you're kind of taking it away. And that's kind of what it is. You know what I mean? And I think,
exactly.
I think that's it. Like, little things like that would go a long way. But, like, what we're seeing now at the moment is a week-to-week basis where nothing's really, you know, continuing on.
It's not followed up with, no.
No, like, no. I mean, they're putting, they for the first little while, they had what looked like a best of seven series to me, but it wasn't mentioned as a best of seven series with Pac and Adam Page.
Yeah.
But, like, what was the reason they were having these matches every week?
Exactly.
Like, was it a best of seven series? If it's a best of seven series, what's it for? Are you going to bring in a TV title? Are you going to be old school and have a TV title? That'd be a great way.
Yeah.
A TV title just to get someone over. Because once you put gold on someone's waist, it's going to work. And you get a TV title over in the process. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that title on TV every week.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the TV title.
Mm-hmm.
And someone wants to be a champion. It elevates that person then to the next stage. Whether you're going to have an intercontinental level or whether you're going to have a US title. It doesn't matter. So a best of seven series needs to be a reason for it. Not just a grudge. But like, no, I beat you last week. This grudge is over.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to fight you three more times?
Yeah.
Oh, you like, there has to be a reason for these things, and this is the problem. This is why, in my opinion, the guys that are running the show, I'm going to call the names, the Omegas, the Codys, and the fucking, I mean, I think Cody is definitely running the show, but he's kind of looking at the main event level of stuff, you know what I mean? And then you've got, obviously, Omega looking after the women's side of things, and then you've got the Young Bucks, who are just putting themselves over. Even though they're losing matches, they're still putting themselves over because they're setting themselves up for a big win. But there's no actual process to it. Do you know what I mean? There's no real process to it. And not only that, the Young Bucks are actually hurting themselves because the new fans and the casual fans are going, who are these lads? Just getting beaten every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having these matches where, like, it's a million false finishes. There's 20 finishers in the match. It's like they do the who's who of finishers. They're going through the fucking book of everybody's finisher and just doing it. And then it's like, and then you have your man shouting at the top of his voice. He sounds like an idiot now at times, I have to say. I like Excalibur at first, but it's just like, V-Trigger! And you're going, oh my God, Jim Rossum says, pum, whatever of his hair that he has left working with this guy. Do you know what I mean? Tony Schiavone just seems not interested as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you got to give anybody that's familiar with Jim Ross, and anyone's ever given a spare thought to listening to Jim Ross and to Tony Schiavone and knowing how they work, they never ever knew what was going to happen in a show other than the matches. What they did was they called it and fed off the emotions of what they were seeing. And Jim Ross has always said it, never look in the ring, look at the monitor. So you're seeing what the people at home are seeing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why it's a TV show. And this is what I'm saying. AEW need to really question themselves as whether they're a fan show for the 100,000 fans that they have, or they want to be a national wrestling company. Because at the moment, they've got a national wrestling level company look in terms of production. That's down to TNT as well, don't forget. But it's not being portrayed as a national level product. And I think that's fair. And I think the numbers show that. Because if WWE can have their C, what's considered their C level show in terms of the effort that they put into their production, which is in a fucking TV studio, let's be fair,
mm-hmm.
and that's beating them in numbers, man, that's saying a lot. Like, because AEW had, you know, the intention here was to compete, even if they say it wasn't, mm-hmm. you know it was. So, I don't think it's lost. I think there's definitely a way for them to get it back. But they need to tell the likes of Kenny Omega, these guys that have been made presidents just because they've used the name Elite, they need to take a step back from that. And I think they need to take a step back from that. And because if this goes tits up, man, the only people losing out are them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, there might be a couple of them that are signed from WWE, but not all of them. Let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are going to be out of a job there. A lot of people behind the scenes that are going to be out of a job as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the women. We know, the only girl I know in the women is your one, and she's a dentist. But I only know that because that's all I've been told. Oh, she's a dentist.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she's a wrestler. Yeah. Ah, I don't know. She's a dentist. Like, you think how fucking ridiculous that is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need context and character behind everything. Hangman Page looks, and I always bring him up because he looks like someone that could have depth. Like he's a cowboy, alright?
Mm-hmm.
Let him ride out on a fucking horse. You know, that's no problem. Let him ride out. Let him be the new Magnum TA. But have reason as to why. The Bastard Pack, yeah. He's obviously, his story writes itself because of the way he comes out. He's a Dynamite Kid style wrestler, do you know what I mean? His work is done in the ring. Kenny Omega, I want to know what makes Kenny Omega mad. We saw a couple of vignettes with him and Moxley, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You didn't see him coming out and do a promo because he can't. Because he's like, yeah, talk like this. Yeah, what I'm going to do. He needs to work on that side of things for himself because he's obviously got potential at doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are these guys so up their own arse that they think they can't improve? If that's the case, then that's a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because every wrestler and every performer should be looking to improve no matter what they're in. Whether it be a footballer or whether it be a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
If I was the Bucks and I was... Like, Toadie's a hell of a promo. Hell of a performer. But he's already at the shooting himself in the foot now because he can't compete for the heavyweight title. So what's his purpose?
Yeah.
It's like... I'll give you an analogy. You familiar with The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Do you remember The Walking Dead when Rick's son, Carl, got killed?
Yeah.
Rick's son, Carl, got killed and he didn't know whether that baby was his or Shane's. Remember the little newborn baby? He didn't know whether his wife had sex with him. Or, well, she had sex with both of them.
Yeah.
So she had, you know, the whole thing was up in the air, whether it was his kid or his partner's kid, his best buddy in the police. Now, if his only son that he knows is dead, shot dead right in front of him, or bitten, whatever the hell it was, what's his purpose? It's the end of the world. It's the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. That kid doesn't really mean much to me, because I don't know whether it's mine or not. Mm-hmm. It's more than likely Shane's. What's his purpose to go on? I liken that to, you know, to what I just said there.
Yeah.
It's you have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing a purpose to a lot of the characters. Like, what's Cody's purpose now? Does he not want to be? Does he not want to be
at the moment?
Does he not want to be world champ?
Well, I think his attention at the moment.
MJF,
is
not
getting back at MJF.
How much airtime has MJF had on TV?
Quite a bit.
Not a lot, man. Come
most
on.
Recently he has.
Most recently, but not a lot. Yeah. Not a lot though.
Since this thing with Cody has started, then he has gotten a lot more.
Yeah, he had 1 week and then he was off air for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Why? We didn't even know whether he was in the inner circle or not.
Yeah.
Because he was gone the following 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just consistency, man. Like, MJF deserves a 20-minute promo.
Yeah.
Promo, should I say. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's, that's, well, I'm glad we got AEW off to, you know, to begin with, because I think, yeah, like I said, I worry for them. I think their ratings are just gone down and down and down. And it's hard to see how they come back when I look at NXT, because that looks like real quality stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
their in-ring product is better, so their wrestlers are actually better. AEW are meant to be the performers, the marks, you know, again, to steal a term that a lot of people say, that's meant to be the marks promotion.
Yeah.
They're beating them on every level at the moment.
Yeah.
Bar maybe Jericho. Bar maybe Cody when he's on the top of his game. But so, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I do fear for them. I think NXT is just probably the best thing on TV at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
But that's who they're competing with. And NXT has them every week. And now it's starting to show in the numbers too.
Yeah.
Has been actually for, you know, quite a while.
Quite a while, yeah.
So, yeah. What do you think... let me put the same question to you. What do you think a Bischoff could do to bring something new to it? Like, what do you think that he could... Do you think he could inject something... Some of those ideas maybe that we talked about, or...?
I think Bischoff just puts story behind it.
Yeah.
Bischoff just... It's not... He'll make sure that they're not aimlessly just going out for... the sake of filling airtime.
Yeah.
That there's a reason behind it, whether it's 2 weeks down the line, whether it's 2 months down the line, everything will be done for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to see.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And in fairness, anyone that thought, like, Bischoff just, oh, he was always with the NWO and didn't care about the rest of the roster, we have to remember, Bischoff is the one that brought a lot of these New Japan and the Mexican wrestlers over. And Bischoff's the one that made the Cruiserweight division in the United States of America a thing.
Yeah.
They were his ideas, no one else's. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just he knows about consistency of storyline, and I think he's been there before, obviously with WCW, and then we've seen with WWE as well, he did it too. That I just think it's crazy that no company has actually approached him yet.
Yeah.
I think that
if it was my company, I'll be honest with you, Darren.
Yeah.
First person I would have called.
Yeah.
And I would have. And it wouldn't have been like saying, I'm offering you a job straight away. What do you think you can do to benefit my company here? What do you think that you can bring? Or what do you think we're lacking? Can you look at our first, say, 6 weeks of TV and say, what are we missing?
Yeah.
Even just as an advisor, first of all.
Yeah.
And say, look, we'll pay you to watch everything that we have done so far. Can you please just give us your feedback?
Yeah, on a consultancy basis.
In a consultancy basis, there you go.
Which is totally fine. But I think it's stupid that nobody, and especially AEW, it's a no-lose situation for them to bring him in.
It's like Cornette, right? Cornette has basically now reviewed every week of AEW. Now, I know some of the performers are like, ah, fuck Jim Cornette. But when we come back, let's actually go through some of the talking points that Cornette has made, right? and see if the guys are now just so anti-Cornette that they're not actually interested in the benefit of the product, or whether they're just like so anti-Cornette that they're like, no, we're going to do that despite them.
Okay.
And they're biting their nose off despite their own face.
Okay.
That's so that's interesting, isn't it?
Are you a fan of wrestling merch? Do you like to wear the latest WWE and UFC shirts? Well, if you're in Ireland, there's only one place to go for all of your wrestling and MMA needs. Wrestling Mania. That's right, Wrestling Mania, located on the top floor of St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in the heart of Dublin's Fair City, is the only place you need to go. Wrestling Mania has everything you need, from t-shirts, hoodies, hats, wristbands, mugs, pendants, and everything in between. And if you're like me, a fan of wrestling history and memorabilia, then you never know what you may find. From action figures, huge back catalogs of books, magazines, DVDs, and all kinds of retro items. Shop for brands like WWE, Tap Out, UFC, Ring of Honor, AEW, and much, much more. And much more than that, Wrestling Mania is a family-run business and Ireland's oldest wrestling shop that has seen superstars such as Bret the Hitman Hart, Chris Jericho, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Dana White, and many, many more pass through its doors. So why not get down to Wrestling Mania today? You never, ever know what you may find. But get this, if you need a purchase coming up to the holiday season and can't make it to the store, don't worry. They've got you covered. Wrestling Mania will deliver directly to your doorstep. And if you can make it to the store today, Wrestling Mania will give you 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. That's right. For listening to Dynamo's Dozen, you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. What do I have to do, you say? Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. All you need to do is join the mailing list. Leave your name at dynamosdozen@gmail.com. Send me an email with your name. Hashtag wrestling store, hashtag dynamosdozen. That is it. And you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. For more information, once again, go to dynamosdozen@gmail.com to be on the mailing list, or go to Wrestling Mania Facebook page on the latest news and arrivals. Get down to Wrestling Mania today.
So, welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen. We were speaking just before the break there, and before you heard a word from our sponsors of WrestleMania, which I hope you will all sign up to the mailing list at dynamosdozen@gmail.com, mm-hmm. and avail of some of the great offers that we have and we are going to have. But moving back on, we just mentioned there, Dara, before the break, and we're not going to spend too much longer on this because, you know, first part of the show has been about AEW. And I'm glad we spent a long time on AEW because it was obviously a big talking story, the big talking point of wrestling, because this was meant to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully still can be. But we were mentioning there, I mentioned to you that the Jim Cornette situation, where he has reviewed, anyone that hasn't listened to it, the Jim Cornette Experience, really good, you know, podcast that I listen to on a weekly basis, has reviewed it all. And not all of it has been shitting all over everything they do. In fact, he's trying to give a constructive opinion on what he's seen. Some of the people that he didn't like at the start, i.e. Darby Allin and people like that, he's ended up saying, right, I can actually see why people would get behind this guy. He's got something about him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I see that as well. Do you think it's a case now that it's like, all right, the modern wrestling fan doesn't actually realize what Jim Cornette done for the business, that they're like, ah, you're just a dinosaur and you don't know what you're talking about, which is a stupid thing to say anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think a lot of times now that maybe some people within the company, the younger guys that are running some of the stuff in the company, are biting their nose off despite their face a little bit and not taking criticism as constructively as it should be taken?
Yeah.
Especially when you're running a multi-billion dollar business or million dollar business, should we say.
Yeah. There's obviously, there's multiple questions in what you were saying there. Like, Jim Cornette is an odd case. I don't listen to his podcast every week like you
sure.
do. I don't.
Yeah.
I wasn't really around wrestling a lot when he was there mostly either. You know, I have a passing knowledge of Jim Cornette. I don't know. I wouldn't know as in depth about him as probably you would. I haven't listened to him as much as probably you would.
Well, put it this way.
Me, like a lot of others say.
Well, he would have had a big hand in the likes of, when you look at the likes of Brock Lesnar, Cena, all these guys, he would have had a lot of hand in their development. CM Punk, people like that. Innovative in that sense and always working in the back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Some big names there too.
Name dropping a few big names.
Just
there
just to put into context as well of you know some of the hand that like.
But like a lot of, and this comes down to like a problem that I have not just with, like you know wrestling fans, especially fans and wrestling fans in general, and sort of this age of social media in terms of you know. People try and say these things to get over and try and, you know, to try to be more popular than the people that they're talking about, you know? But I think a lot of wrestling fans that don't like Jim Cornette don't know Jim Cornette.
That's a fair point, yeah.
I think they see him as this old racist and stuff like that. And I think there was, it's just going away from how he reviews AEW in his last few podcasts. It was just something, I think it was today, that I saw come up on Twitter about him disagreeing with how a wrestling match started and the choreography of it. It was a GCW match, I think.
Okay.
Don't ask me who the competitors were.
On Twitter, yeah?
Yeah, it was Charity V. Oliver or something like that it was called. I've never heard of either wrestler before in my life. But it was similar to the Ricochet Osprey starts to when they were having their feud of matches a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very polished, very clean. You know, it's been practiced beforehand. And it would drive sort of the old school people insane at how quick the sort of moves and stuff are in terms of this. And I think, like, I can't remember the wording that he said in it, but you're saying, like, this is why it's real in the business, this sort of, like, shit. Like he says the words that he knows, that, like, he knows that they're going to trigger people. But I think I saw someone retweet what he said, who was actually one of the guys in the match Evolved. And his first sentence was, this is why Jim Cornette will be one of the scum of the earth.
And which is an insult straight away.
For me, that's when I saw, and it says, "Paul, you just lost the argument."
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
Like, you can't call him scum of the earth because he's trying to actually better you. Yeah. But that's my problem with this.
He is doing the one thing that you would go against him for, in terms of he is giving his opinion on what he thought of that video, and what he is entitled to do is to give his opinion. And because you didn't like it, you went and personally attacked him.
And let's be fair, Jim Cornette probably has more right to an opinion than a lot of workers that are in the ring even today.
I don't even care about right to an opinion. I don't.
But he has the right to his opinion, is what I'm saying.
I don't care who has more of a right or who has less of a right. Jim Cornette has a right to give his opinion on what happened in that video and whether he liked it or not.
Well, here's the tweet you're talking about. So it's Jordan Oliver, Christian versus Oliver. Basically, what Jim Cornette said, which I think is fair, wrestling in 2019, 12-foot ring with 250-pound kids doing a choreographed dance routine and 84 fans, in quotation marks, reacting like they're watching Ali versus Frazier. I'm sorry for the people who like this hot garbage, but I'll continue pointing out how this is an embarrassment to the sport. Okay. Now, if you go and you actually watch this 51 seconds of what's supposed to be an opening match, an opening fight.
Exchange.
Yeah? Exchange. Right, yeah. It is literally two guys jumping over each other and dancing around each other. In fact, looking for any way out of hitting each other and engaging into a physical contest. So therein lies the question. When wrestling is too polished, it does become hokey, and it becomes the epitome of what people say to a wrestling fan, oh Jesus, you watch that fake stuff. Whereas you watch something like a Dustin and Cody match, again, because this happened in 2019, and you go, holy shit, man, someone got a smack there.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, and it's good that you read the tweet back, because it's...
I wanted to put context, because it has to be fair, you know?
It kind of gives way to what I was saying as well. Like,
very much so, yeah.
Cornette was giving out about this style of wrestling.
Not an individual.
No, he wasn't giving... Now, obviously, there was individuals involved in that style of wrestling, but he did not name, we did not like... Okay, which is fine.
150 pounds isn't an insult, because the two guys look about 150 pounds.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with the hot garbage that he was talking about. Like, Jim Cornette uses his words carefully. He knows that those words are going to get reactions, and that's what he wants.
Yeah, well, look, again, at the end of the day, Jim Cornette is a heel manager.
Yeah.
He's also... somebody that's been around the wrestling business since he's a kid. And therefore, you know, if he wants to use the words as hot garbage that people like, that's fine. And one of the wrestlers that you mentioned earlier was Paddy Morrow, who also talked about it. And agreed kind of on that.
He didn't like it either because
it's not actually a contest. It's a ballet contest, actually. It's Strictly Come Dancing. And you're waiting for the judges at the end of that 51 seconds to everyone go, oh my God, that was amazing.
But don't get me wrong, like, to remember the moveset and to do that is great choreography and it's great athleticism.
You know what? It tells that they have more brain cells than the likes of me, because if someone said to me, right, we're going to do this exchange, dude, you would have to grab me by the palm of the hand and lead me through that shit, because I couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
I can see, like, it was just his opinion, he's not gonna like that style of wrestling, he's never going to like that style.
But let me ask you a question, and this goes back to my initial question: can some of these guys, and a lot of them do, I mean, MJF is someone that you can tell listens to Cornette and goes, yeah, I like his opinion, because that's the type of character he is. And also, MJF is a performer that likes to wrestle. I mean, you look at MJF and he talks about his favourite characters. Roddy Piper comes to mind. Hashtag, we'll get Dara a beer now in a moment. Hashtag, Dara, go get yourself a beer while I say this question to you.
Hashtag, Dara's going to get a beer.
Hashtag, Dara, give the clink, self-clink. But I think one of the points I always make, okay, about certain guys, I've always been in awe of guys that can, that can do that kind of stuff. And I think there's a place for that kind of spot in a certain type of wrestling match. I do. I think there's definitely a place for a certain type of spot in a wrestling match. I remember looking at Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam back in the day doing those kind of spots. And being kind of in awe of it, but also not being in awe of it in terms of, I want to do that. But more in awe of it in terms of going, Jesus Christ, the amount of memory you must have to keep that going. It's not my style of wrestling, but at the same time, I don't shit on it. But what I've seen there today was just literally two lads jumping over each other and avoiding any physical confrontation at all costs. Yet, it's meant to be a prize fight as well. You know, you're meant to be beating the guy and pinning him. The word is wrestling. And I love when people... I'm gonna educate some fans here on this one, actually. Look up the definition of the word wrestling in a dictionary. And the next time you're at a local indie show and you chant, this is wrestling, when two lads are doing flips off each other, slap yourself in the face. Because wrestling is of Greco-Roman origin. It's a contest, a physical contest of two people trying to pin the other to the mat. You tell Khabib that this is wrestling and see what he does to you. Do you know what I mean? So just remember, guys, just because you think you're smarter than people because you watch this, stop using the word the business. Stop, you know, as Kigo said, wear your t-shirts, I don't care. It's not my opinion. If you want to wear a Bayley t-shirt, wear a Bayley t-shirt. If you want to wear whatever fucking t-shirt you want. In fact, if you want to chant what you want, as long as it's not offensive to the individual in the ring, other than their character, and you're attacking their character in the ring, by all means, you shout what the hell you want. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not attacking the individual, if you get my drift. And I think everyone that is listening should be getting my drift on that. You're not attacking the person. Okay, we all understand that it is a sport that is now, you know, it's predetermined, yeah? But try and suspend disbelief in a little bit and attack the character in the ring that you're seeing and base your emotions and your reactions off their reactions and their emotions and have a bit of fun with it. Because A, you're going to be helping the people in the ring, and B, you're going to be helping yourself and the rest of the crowd. Don't go into it thinking you know it all. You know what I mean? And that's why I use the word, I hate that. This is wrestling. No, it's not. Sorry. Because wrestling is in the Olympics. Okay? And wrestling, when if you're talking about pro wrestling, a pro wrestling match is what so we've seen.
Are you saying they should be chanting, this is sports entertainment?
They shouldn't be chanting, this is wrestling. No, well, yeah. Well, no. To be fair, this is no. Acrobats. But you know what I'm saying. I'm yeah. saying to the fans, just don't be trying to be smarter than what you are. Like, I don't watch every film that I watch and try and understand the hook, nook, and cranny of everything. For example, I watched The Irishman last night. Here's a great example. Me and the better half sat down and watched a 3.5-hour film last night, and it didn't feel like a 3.5-hour film. All the feedback that I got from people around, in and around my age and a bit younger was that it's too long, it's too boring. No, it's too long because you can't sit down without your phone in your hand for 3 hours. This is the genre and the generation that we're in. We're in the generation of people that cannot have their phone out of their hand for more than 20 minutes to check out what status that, you know, whether their status that they put up is liked or whether it's this. We're in the generation, and you know, I'll say this before Joe Cabray. I remember being down at a seminar with Joe Cabray saying people's attention span now is not the same as it used to be. So if you have a 9-10 minute wrestling match, don't spend a minute or two of it just jumping around and flipping around the place. Tell a story. Mm. Get yourself over by telling a story. Because if you look at two lads doing the exact same thing, which one are you going to remember? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, which scene do you remember from any of the movies that I always say, the Fast and the Furious? You don't remember anything. Because they're all car crashes. Mm-hmm. Be the guy that fucking, when that guy jumps up and turns around after doing a flip, pop him with a European uppercut, smack the shit out of him and look and take the steam out of him. Yeah. And then look at the crowd and be the fucking asshole that ruined that segment.
Yeah.
That ruined that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tease that sequence to go on for maybe 30 seconds more, but then boom, smack. Yeah, now we've established who the prick is,
mm-hmm.
and now we're rooting for the guy to get up and fucking smack him back. It's basic fucking wrestling one-on-one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know whether, again, I don't think I'm old school in saying that. That's what it should be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And anyone that disagrees with me, whether it be, you know, experienced or not, I think you're wrong. You know what I mean? And I think I'm right when it comes to that particular type of scenario that we're talking about. So, yeah, I go back and I say, you know, go back onto our main point. I think Jim Cornette is 100% right when he critiques something like that, because he's doing it for the benefit. You know, if you can look beyond the trash, hot trash wrestling, and you can look at the point that's being made, and if you take the education that you can take from that point, I think the wrestling business would be a much better place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If we listen to veterans like that. Because there's guys like Bret Hart out there that aren't running podcasts, and there's guys like Shawn Michaels that are actually working behind the scenes, as you can see in NXT, that are basically educating lads on how to work.
Yeah.
And that's why you can see the benefit in NXT, and you can't see it in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got the likes of John Moss, shout out. You've got the likes of Triple H. You've got the likes of Regal. You've got the likes of Lance Storm now, who's a big coup.
Yep.
Major fucking coup. You've got the likes of Shawn Michaels and all there that are working with these guys and teaching them the inner craft of the business.
Yeah.
I want to see more guys come out and wrestle like Arn Anderson. Does that mean they have to be slow and methodical like Arn Anderson? Hell no. But they can take little bits of what he does psychology-wise. Give you an example. Did you ever see that spot in an old match with Arn Anderson? I think it was with Danton Alex Wright. Remember Alex Wright was on this podcast before the German.
Yeah,
he was in WCW.
Yeah.
I think Alex Wright said this to me. Actually, it was a spot where, you know, the Arn Anderson DDT, one of the most devastating DDTs of all, only second to Mr. Jake Roberts himself. The two of them come back off running at the ropes at each other. Arn Anderson pretends to punch him in the face. Alex Wright ducks. Arn Anderson just goes, boom, into a DDT.
Yeah.
Perfect spot. That's psychology, because that's something that could happen on the street. Mm-hmm. You could pop your head at some, pop, pretend to throw a punch at someone, they duck, fleece, boom, got him.
Yeah.
Boom. Something like that. I don't see that innovation anymore. All I see is lads jumping over each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not always now. Not always. I'm not saying that's all I see. Sorry, that's not fair to say.
Yeah.
I'll correct myself on that. That's not fair to say. It's not all I see, but it's a lot of what people want to see, and it's a lot of what is getting... Is getting the pop, should I say.
A nice example, actually, of that. And give credit to what happened in SmackDown, actually, just last night. Was, and it happens a lot, this happens a lot with her, and I think it still works every time. It was Sasha Banks and Bayley against Dana Brooke and Lacey Evans. And Dana Brooke goes for a roll-up on Sasha Banks. She kicks out, and then seamlessly, as if she was thinking about this during the pin, when I'm going to kick out, seamlessly turns into the bank statement, taps her out. That sort of stuff is what you want to see more.
Yeah.
You want to see being able to sort of, like you were saying, like if you're in a fight, using your head.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, if this person ducks, I'm going to get them in a DDT. If this person gets me in a roll-up, I'm going to kick out, and I can twist my body in a way that I can then put them in a bank statement. You know
what I mean?
Sort of the thing with Becky used to do, the same thing. If she was in a roll-up, she'd kick out, grab the arm, turn her body, disarm her, and then there you go.
Yeah. It's real simple. It's like, why don't we see, we're starting to see it the odd time now, and I like it. We've seen it in NWA Power a couple of times as well. We're starting to see the art of the roll-up again, you know, like the small package. You know, someone losing to a small package isn't a big deal, because you can have a top babyface lose to a small package and just get cut off guard, and it doesn't take anything away from them.
That's what the idea of a roll-up was in the very first instance.
Exactly.
Was to catch someone by surprise, because it wasn't a traditional pin, and then winning by it should be a shock, but then again shouldn't be a shock by saying, oh, he caught him in a roll-up, there was no chance for him there.
Yeah, it's like United or Chelsea or Liverpool or whoever losing to a team that just caught them off guard and then shut up shop. You know what I mean? The biggest babyface in the world doesn't always have to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's ways and means of getting it over.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to an old match, and I'm sure, in fact, it's one of the great Paddy Morrows. I mean, he's probably the top guy in Ireland now at the moment, on the run of his life, probably with OTT. As always said, one of his favourite matches was Bret Hart against the 1-2-3 Kid on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly a 40-minute match. Bret Hart went over in the end, but my God, what he did was show that a guy like 1-2-3 Kid can be in the dance. And that's what Jericho, I think, is doing with the likes of Jungle Boy recently. And when I watched that match, I was like, yeah, it was actually really smart work on Jericho's part. It was like, initially, it was like Jericho took the foot off the gas. And then all of a sudden you were thinking, shit, is Jericho making a mistake and taking this kid for granted? Mm-hmm. But then, no. The wily veteran comes back and knows a way to win. But it got Jungle Boy over there. Now, what are they going to do with Jungle Boy next? Are they going to elevate him to a point where he can do something with that? Or are they just going to put him back down to wrestling Orange Cassidy? And you know, doing silly tag matches or whatever?
That's what we're going to have to wait for.
This is why I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
In terms of the likes of Bishop being brought in.
mark down the stories.
Continuation. That's what you want. You just want, not continuation, consistency. That's the word. It's just consistency in your storytelling. Like we were saying, these guys are talented wrestlers.
Yeah.
They're very talented. We're top of their game that, like, you can have for granted that these guys are going to be very consistent in the actual wrestling ability. But what we want now to sort of keep everything flowing well and to make, to keep, like...
I've even seen a thing in Joey Janela. Everyone hates him, yeah? No one likes Joey Janela. Not many people do because they look at him as a backyarder. I've seen something in him that he's actually trying to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's doing a lot of crazy stuff as well in the ring. But, I mean, he's trying to present himself like a wrestler. He's wearing good gear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to have matches.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not the most natural wrestler on the planet. But at least I see an effort. And if he continues with that effort, he'll be a decent wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
As well as being able to have those hardcore matches. And I think that's good. That's giving context to a character. Instead of putting him in a match, say, with, you know, when they initially did, where he's having a 20-minute fucking Donnybrook with John Moxley, when you're getting John Moxley over as the most badass man in the place. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
But that was something that I feel that they had to do to get John Moxley over. And unfortunately, there was...
But 2 weeks before that, he was in a carnival bitching out to Pineapple Head. Yeah, fucking, you know, Enzo Amore.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah, he came off looking the worst for that because it looks like he didn't want to really engage in a fight with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether that was a work or not. If it was a work, they never did nothing with it. We talked about it last week on the Finn Martin podcast. They should have done something with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have even got... they should have even got... You know, if Janela had been signed to a... You know, to an AEW contract at that point, they should have got Enzo Amore in for one shot. Just for that even. Just for a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Or they should have done it on a large independent wrestling match, you know, setting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looks like Amore just wants himself back somewhere.
Yeah.
Because wrestling suddenly means something to him again. Mm-hmm. Now, he's the epitome of someone that wrestling means nothing to. It's just that's all he knows now, because obviously his rap career isn't going to go anywhere. You know?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying Janela wouldn't beat the shit out of him, but it's just saying, in that context, it didn't look good. It was on TMZ. It didn't look like he was someone that was going to beat up Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you got him going 20 minutes with your biggest fucking badass star.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been a squash on Moxley's part.
Yeah.
Just boom, smash, boom, smash and grab, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. You know? But look, we probably spent too much time. We spent nearly an hour on AEW. I think AEW deserved us to spend an hour on that because, like I say, there's good and there's bad. There's a lot of good points that go with it too, which I touched on last week with Finn Martin. So we don't need to go back over that. We're just talking about the situation that we're in now. We're speaking freely on it. This is freestyle, guys. This isn't, it's nothing written here. We're just going off the top of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And you may agree, you may disagree, but I think the points that we're making here are very, very valid when it comes to AEW. We don't need to really do a whole year in review of WWE, I don't think, because
WWE is the same as it is every year.
Anyway. Yeah, there's a lot of great points. I think the highlight is NXT. That's all we need to really say.
Kofi's title win at Mania was good.
Yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. I'm not a fan of him, so therefore... Yeah. Well, not in a bad way. I'm just, he's not my cup of tea, but it was great.
I think a lot of people, and myself included, liked it, because I think it was one of the rare occasions that WWE went and listened to their audience.
Yeah, but I think they tried to recreate the Daniel Bryan situation, and I don't think it worked. I think they did a little bit
in that sense, but... That is, like, any time, like, a guy who's been put down for years that comes up will always be considered the Daniel Bryan story, no matter
what. You're in agreement with me there. I just think
because the Daniel Bryan run...
But I think they tried to recreate the Yes movement almost with
the
Kofi.
The Daniel Bryan run was so iconic and so memorable.
Organic.
He's so organic that any sort of similar storyline, to that, will always be compared to Daniel Bryan. Which I think is unfair on Kofi's.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You know? Like, do I think Kofi deserved having a shot at a WWE title? Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it... I don't think it... It benefited him now, when I look at it in the long run. Like, there's certain... There's certain type of guys...
Well, the thing is that, like, when he had the title, it was just...
Like, it wasn't believable that he was beating guys like Randy Orton.
Not even that. I think it was just... Because he's beaten Randy Orton before, and they've had runs before and stuff. And I liked his run with Randy Orton, because they brought back old stuff that they've had between each other and everything. I liked that.
How has Randy Orton not had a title run again recently, man? I mean, he's been having some of his best work again for a long time. Because he's beat up, man. But
he's beat up.
And but he's performing better than anybody else.
Yeah, because he's gone part-time pretty much. He's doing little bits now. He's not... If he has a title run, he has to be there performing every week.
But he is performing every week.
Not to that extent, that title.
Ah, dude.
I just going back to...
I gotta disagree with you there, I have to say. I do, because... Well, then what's the point in having him there at all? You know what I mean? Mm. Like, he's wrestling there every single week.
Mm.
He's just involved in different stuff. He's still as fluid and as crisp and probably as pretty a wrestler. And I mean pretty in terms of the stuff he does in the ring.
It's okay if you find him gorgeous.
In the ring. Oh, he's a slick dude, 100%. Yeah. But I'm not, you know... You seem to get off on him. That's okay.
Jesus.
No, but...
There's only one man I'm going to get off, and he's in the room with me now.
Hey. But no, I mean, I think Randy Orton, I just think he's as pretty a wrestler in the ring in terms of what he does. And I think I'd love to see Randy have another run, you know, as a heel, of course. I think it's been an awkward year for some of the guys that had big years. It's been an awkward year for Seth. It's been an awkward year for Becky as well, actually, coming off the back of the run that she had with Ronda. I think she probably would have hoped for better stuff. But I think that was down to booking.
She had that run with Ronda at the start of the year, though.
But I think that was down to booking, though.
Yeah.
I think that was down to booking after Mania, is what I mean.
Yeah.
It kind of was like, even though she was still the champ, they didn't keep her up at that stratosphere that she was at. They kind of put the women like they'd done it as a gimmick. They put the women here and then they went, all right, now back in your box kind of thing. And I don't think that's right.
I think the weird thing, they pushed Becky as the thing was great with Ronda and stuff at the start, and then if you go all the way back to like August when it was SummerSlam, when she finally turned heel, it was great because she was heel. But when she got the title, they turned her face, and they tried to turn it into a Stone Cold type of face where she's still the badass. And don't get me wrong, she's still doing a good job with it. I think she's doing the best that she can do.
She has, but this is what I'm saying, it's down to booking.
She has her hands tied at the moment.
I like Bayley at the moment. I think I like the way she comes out with that kind of sad, yet kind of not interested face.
See, I think the great thing is that to have Bayley is the great thing with Bayley is to have Sasha there at her side.
I think
having both of them there is a really good thing. Having the title,
it works well.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it does, because that's obviously going to blow out into a feud where they can obviously at Mania, hopefully, if they book it right. But no, I think there's some positives, there's some, you know, a lot of negatives. But people are always looking at the negatives. I'm just looking for the positives for WWE now. I think there was a lot of great stuff. CM Punk has come back. But I'll tell you what we'll do before we start talking about what can happen in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Let's maybe start talking about some of the awards, because you're the only man who was in possession of the winners of the end of year awards here.
Yeah. And, let me just get my document here that has all of them.
And we're going to leave it up to you to kind of start off with. We'd obviously had my vote and Finlay Martin's vote last week, so that's been taken into account. They're obviously there.
Yeah.
And this is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was some surprise entrance, and I think there might be also some surprise winners according to my sources. So we can have some fun with this.
Yeah. So what one do you want to start with? You want to start with the male wrestler?
Do you know what? I'm going to leave it up to you. Why don't we put the females first?
Females first.
The way it should be. Because this whole ladies first is what I always say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had obviously for each category we had four nominees.
Yeah.
As whoever voted on Twitter may be aware, thank you obviously for the votes as well. We actually
100%. We actually got a lot more votes when we put it all together.
Yeah.
Than it just comes up on Twitter than we thought we'd even get. So
yeah.
That's a really big thank you to everybody who went out of their way to vote.
And if you don't already follow us on Twitter, just make sure you do. Either search Dynamo's Dozen, or if you search at IanKelly800, so IanKelly800, and we're there too. So follow us on that, and you can see the results for yourself. But our category for female wrestler of the year, our four nominees were Tessa Blanchard, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Shayna Baszler.
And we also put a bit of context on this. We'd actually given people the opportunity to decipher these.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
involved with the podcast.
We got previous people who were involved with the podcast or who are currently involved with the podcast. Obviously, myself, yourself, we had the likes of Ted.
The back team, yeah.
We had Niall. We had Carl as well involved too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people who are currently, like I said, involved or who have been involved at one point in the podcast too.
So we all put our names into the hat.
Yeah, we each gave four nominees for each category, and the ones that came up most often were going to be our nominees that you have heard or have seen over the past week.
Yeah.
So and the winner, with 57% of the votes, was Becky Lynch.
Shout out to Becky.
And we just talked about
it earlier,
just there a couple of minutes ago, about the year that she's had. She's still been a very strong year. I think still has been the standout. Like Tessa Blanchard has had a really good year. Now again, it was interesting because for those who didn't listen to last week's podcast, I think yourself and Finn had a great conversation in terms of talking about that category as well, and talking to Tessa herself, saying in which context are we taking this category. Are you taking it as an individual basis that this woman has had a good year in terms of her wrestling matches, or this woman has had a good year because she's done a lot for the women's division?
Yeah.
In Tessa's case, obviously she's had a lot of matches with male competitors, especially with her run with like Sami Callihan and stuff, and so she's had a decent run in that, while TNA have allowed the likes of Valkyrie, to run the women's division as their champion there. So that one wasn't that was a difficult one to decide when you were choosing who should be female of the year.
Because we spent a lot of time on that actually last week.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and Finn.
It is a good question to ask, and it's something that you would have to think about in terms of the category. Now, I myself would have said like it just the person themselves individually, have they had a good year, have they involved in decent matches? Because if it was the same for the male competitors, where if it was a male going up against female, I wouldn't consider, okay, has this guy done a lot for the male division? I'd just say, has he had a good year?
And
quite
a lot of surprising feedback. A lot of people were surprised at my pick last week because they were expecting me to pick Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Obviously being, you know, a loyal, you know, friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I had picked Tessa.
Yeah.
And they were kind of surprised because I had been kind of one of the spokespeople of saying that I don't necessarily agree with, you know, women wrestlers beating guys like, what's the guy, Matt Bourne, or no, the big guy that Tessa beat.
He was Brian Cage, wasn't
it? Yeah. But it was, for me, that was one of the reasons that I picked her, because she was going toe-to-toe in terms of ability.
Yeah.
On a smaller scale, on an impact scale, I could see why that made sense.
Yeah.
You know, because people know it's obviously a work and whatnot. And she was having like really phenomenal matches with them. I don't think that could work in a WWE landscape or an AEW landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been my point. Not that women can't wrestle the men, mm-hmm. in terms of the athletic contest that it is, but in terms of the message it sends out to kids, but also the believability factor. But in terms of what I felt that Tessa had brought to the, you know, to the women of wrestling, to show mm-hmm. that what is achievable, was where I felt that her, you know, that's why she got my vote. But then at the same time, if that had been this time last year, and I know that Becky Lynch, the year she had, she was getting my vote every time because of where she had brought women's wrestling in the context of the status and where it lies now,
mm-hmm.
To where it lied, you know, a year beforehand.
Yeah.
It was the main event. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, all great picks. All like any one of the women, you know, could have been voted, but I think yeah, it was. So who was in the? I don't even think Tessa Blanchard came even in second. It was Rhea Ripley.
She came in third. Sorry, Rhea Ripley came in second.
Came in second. Yeah.
I think Rhea Ripley,
which is another good show. Yeah.
Yeah, she's had a great couple of months for sure.
Yeah, man. Really strong end. Yeah.
Yeah, and it started actually out quite well because she was the first UK Women's Champion as well. Yeah. In January when she was crowned, so she had a good all around year. I myself actually went for Shayna Baszler because I thought she had had a
really, I like Shayna Baszler too.
She'd had a really, really good year. She'd been NXT Women's Champion all year, had some really good matches with a lot of competitors as well, and I think she had helped carry the women's division in NXT for sure. I think she was doing things in the women's division in NXT that, say, the likes of the Raw and the SmackDown champion weren't able to do.
Yeah.
But Becky Lynch is obviously a deserved winner as well.
Yeah, she's so Becky Lynch wins the first category.
She is the Dynamo's Dozen Female Wrestler of the Year, so congratulations.
Shout out to Becky.
Yeah.
My girl.
We'll move on and we'll go to the Male Wrestler of the Year.
Okay.
So, again, this was a tight one now between the top two.
Okay.
Of it, and I'll give you the full four nominees. Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa, Cody and Chris Jericho were the four nominees, and the winner the Male Wrestler of the Year for in Dynamo's Dozen poll, I should say, is Adam Cole.
Shout out. Yeah,
Adam Cole, again, another deserving champion, has been pretty much NXT champion for the whole most of the year.
Yeah.
Has had continuous fantastic matches with numerous opponents, including just a couple last week there with Finn Balor, likes of Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, Ricochet. I think actually Ricochet was the year before, but
no one will hold that against you.
No. they all just mesh into one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's had a really, really good year. Obviously, as the lead of the Undisputed Era, I think a deserving champion. Now, coming in second place, like I said, quite close behind Adam Cole was Chris Jericho.
Awesome, yeah.
Chris Jericho, another really good year for Chris. Now, he obviously hasn't had as many matches as the likes of Adam Cole has had this year, but I think the caliber of matches that he's had has been really impressive. He had his run with Naito over at Wrestle Kingdom, I believe. No, it wasn't Wrestle Kingdom. It wasn't. Sorry. Who was it? Who was it that he faced at Wrestle Kingdom last January?
It wasn't because he's wrestling Tanahashi now.
He's wrestling Tanahashi,
which I can't wait for.
That's good. And
Tanahashi's one of my favorite workers as well.
Because he had his run with Naito in the summer. I remember that.
Yes. So it was. God damn it.
It wasn't another match with Omega, because that was in... that was at Alu.
Who the hell was it? There's people listening now going, "You two fucking idiots."
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? It doesn't matter who it was, because at the same time, it was just a hell of a year. And I think Cody comes in with the third spot.
Cody came in third, yeah.
And then Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa was after that. They were a little bit behind, too. So, let's have a look. Wrestle Kingdom 13, obviously, was the last one.
Yeah, so it was...
There was Naito.
Yeah, it was Naito.
Was it?
Defeated Jericho to win the IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Sorry...
Yeah,
it
because he attacked Naito. He attacked Naito after,
It was Okada that he fought in June for the title. That's what it was.
There you are.
That's my mistake. But look, that we have that cleared up now. We'll move on and we'll actually go to the tag team of the year.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Tag team of the year was very one-sided, I'll be admit. I think it's the most one-sided pick that we've had throughout this whole award season.
And as we said, the Young Bucks didn't even make the cut.
The Young Bucks didn't make the cut. But the ones that did make the cut, I'll give out the nominees very briefly. The New Day, the Lucha Bros, the Revival, and the Undisputed Era. And with 71% of the votes, Undisputed Era is your tag team of the year.
That's a landslide there.
That is a landslide.
Wow. There's no point in even doing honorary mentions in terms of the runners-up, because
I don't think so.
I don't... yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well deserved, though. We just mentioned off the back of what Adam Cole done.
Yeah. And then the rest of the boys. And I can't think of any other tag team that I think has been better this year.
No.
SCU had a good year, but...
The Revival was my pick, but that was purely because, you know, they bring the old school into...
Yeah.
Into new school. Yeah. But that's about it.
And we'll go to what we thought our match of the year was. This is really difficult.
It's an interesting
one,
actually.
This always will divide opinion.
This is the one.
So, again, we'll go through the categories. This was Walter versus Devlin.
Mm-hmm. For all my American listeners, you know who Walter and Devlin is now.
Yeah, but this was at an OTT event. I believe it was the...
It was early in the year.
It was...
I was there.
God. It was in the stadium as well, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Was it the anniversary show?
No, it was in the stadium.
Fifth anniversary show.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
It was in the boxing stadium, yeah.
Yeah.
In Dublin.
We had Kofi versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
We had Cody versus Dustin at All Out, obviously. And then we had Pete Dunne against Adam Cole at NXT TakeOver. So four really, really good matches. The winner, and you could see it, I think it's probably... probably deserved as well, and like you were saying, for your American listeners that haven't got the chance to see it, fully recommend to go to OTT On Demand and have a look for this match. Walter versus Jordan Devlin is the winner with 53%.
Yeah, and it's a hefty, like,
yeah,
it's a good, you know, 53%. I can see coming in second
double,
place.
Yeah, it's almost double Kofi and Daniel Bryan was second place at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so. And my pick, Cody versus Dustin, was thrown back in my face. Yeah, no problem.
Well, look, that's the thing. People have different opinions on what matches they
like.
That's it.
And we're happy for people to vote on them.
Yeah, and maybe because it was an Irish podcast, it was a little...
Possibly.
Little biased.
It's mostly Americans as well that actually do, but it looked like the Irish voters...
The Irish voters voted for Walter.
They came true.
We'll go to the best show of the year. And we thought we'd involve this one because of, obviously, with the introduction of AEW Dynamite.
Yep.
So, obviously, Dynamite, NXT, NWA Power, and SmackDown were the four nominees. Interesting that Raw didn't make it.
Yeah, Raw didn't... And actually, like, NWA Power got in there ahead of Raw, which is really interesting.
And NWA Power hasn't been around for... Has been around the same time as
AEW. It's still in its virginity, though. You know what I mean? So...
But it just shows how much I think Raw has fallen.
Yeah. Yeah, when a YouTube, weekly show can come in and take over Raw, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So, who won this category?
I think it was an easy choice. It was NXT.
NXT won. I think it was by a landslide as well.
I think it was. It was with 60% of the vote, with AEW Dynamite coming in second, with 20% of the vote.
And who came in third? This is an interesting one, man. This is the first.
Power came in third. Came in third, and SmackDown was last.
With 7%? Yeah. Wow. So there's some Power fans out there.
There are some Power fans. There's some old school wrestling fans.
13 of you.
Yeah.
Even 30%. No, I like that. Right, so obviously these are a good amount of votes here, actually, that have brought that. So, I mean, okay, that's interesting. And then our final category is who
we believe is going to be the breakout star of 2020.
This is an interesting one, This is a very interesting one.
Yeah. So the nominees were Keith Lee, MJF, Scotty Davis from Ireland, the American fans that don't know who he is.
I mentioned him last week on the podcast, obviously.
He's actually currently over in Japan as well.
Yeah, okay. Gave me boy Scotty a good kind of shout out last week. And
the last one is Hangman Page. Okay. So with 44...
So this is a very heavily Dynamo influenced category. And I swear to God, guys, I only picked one.
You only picked one.
I did only pick one, so...
And with 44% of the vote, the breakout... Well, not even the breakout star, because 2020 hasn't happened yet. So the one to watch in 2020 is MJF.
Wow.
Yeah.
44%.
44% of the
vote. Nearly half. Man. Yeah, yeah,
coming in second was Scotty Davis with 33%.
Oh.
So he is obviously, he's one to watch too.
A lot okay, of people that's interesting.
Are knowing who he is, and he's think he's in for a really great year. And the
that's
crazy
really
thing,
interesting.
The crazy thing is he's only about 18 or 19.
He's 18 and he's wrestled Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Unbelievable.
If you'd have told me you'd have done that.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of you, Scotty, you little bastard. Well done. Well done, man. I'm absolute shout out to the Scotty and to everyone who voted for Scotty. That's really wow. Yeah. You know, to be even in that conversation with the Hangman Pages and the MJFs is really
and
incredible.
And Keith Lee's as well, yeah. And he beat off so many other ones as well, which were possibilities for next year to see who to look out for. So like he beat off the likes of the Matt Riddles and the Ospreys and everything like that. So
yeah.
Fair play to Scotty, and we can't wait to see what all of these guys have in store for 2020.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. Incredible. And like, really, really big thank you to everyone who actually took the time to vote again. Mm-hmm. Like I say, it was something that we had put together kind of last minute, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something that we got to the last minute, and the response has been fantastic. We thank everybody who was... who voted, whether your vote won or not, doesn't matter. The fact is that you contributed, and we'll do this now every year, and this time, maybe next year, whoever you vote for will be the winner.
Yeah, 100%. I think that probably wraps it up, to be honest with you, for this week. I think we've got everything.
Well, I've got an idea for a way to wrap it up. With the new year here, everyone has their New Year resolution, okay? I'm going to change it up, and what's your wrestling resolution?
As you can hear in the background, Dino's got an awful head cold.
He's slowly dying here, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, an awful head cold coming into the New Year. It's great.
But what would be your wrestling resolution for next year? So what's the one thing you want to see more than anything else next year?
To not have a flu. I think I'll let that one out there for you guys, just to let you know how serious this horrible flu is. But I'll tell you, one, more of the same in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good Lord. As you can hear me live and on air, I'm struggling to get this out to you guys. But yeah.
You should see him. He's just holding back the tears of what could happen maybe next year. Just of what could happen in 2020.
More of the same. But at the same time, I would what I would also like to see is more of what I mentioned with AEW at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Context. See? Oh, Jesus Christ. He's got me at a bad time, lads. But he's put me on the spot here for this one. So I got to get through it. I gotta get through it. I think, yeah, more continuity and more consistency from AEW. Like I said, more storylines. I'd like to see bigger guys get involved. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, there has to be the Bischoffs or the Hogans. You know, more storylines, definitely. 100% more storylines.
Yeah.
More great content in Ireland, which is happening. I guess the UK as well. 100%, because they're keeping a good consistent level of you know, of stars that are just popping up everywhere. And I guess, you know, I'd be amiss to say more people just supporting what they like, but also not dissing shit that they don't like, you know.
Okay.
It seems to be we have a modern trend of a real kill culture when we go against things that aren't of our own opinion. That goes for politics as well, you know what I mean? You see, like, kids over in the States, and this goes out to my state friends, that aren't fans of Donald Trump, but yet people who do support him get the shit kicked out of them. But yet they're they're shouting out the hate that Donald Trump supposedly resonates. Well, then, if that's the case, don't be devil that you hate them. You know, I'd just like to see less shit in life. Honestly, I know that sounds like me fucking having a bit of a moment in terms of, preaching. But it's not really, it's preaching, like, I'm not preaching love and happiness for everybody. But I guess I am, but in a way of saying it less corny. Mm-hmm. Let people have their opinion, you know. Unless it's a ridiculous opinion and it's unless it's an opinion of hate, don't attack it with hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see people just fucking appreciate what we have in the world at the moment in a lot of ways, because we have a lot of we have a lot of content to enjoy, whether it be movies, whether it be sports, whether it be entertainment, whether it be movies, music, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, or everything in between. But we've got everything we need. What I don't think we have enough of is just tolerance for other people's opinion. And I think I'd like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. I know I might not get it, but I would like to see it. I'd like to see, you know, this isn't even a wrestling-based thing. I'd like to see more governments fucking take action on not what some, you know, 16-year-old is telling us to do, and actually take initiative of doing these things without a 16-year-old needing to tell us to do it. You know? You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to see less homelessness in Ireland. I'd like to see governments actually stand up and be accountable. I'd like to see governments that are in place that shouldn't be there taken out. I'd like to see people actually use their brains and realise what propaganda you're being fed, especially in this country. Varad Karel, there we go. I think I speak for pretty much most of the working class country, mm-hmm. when we say that. Seeing people lying in streets on Dublin City on Christmas Day, which a video came out the other day, it's not acceptable, you know. Less money into Pope visits and more money into homes for everybody. That's what I'd like to see for 2020. Not wrestling. Mm-hmm. Wrestling's a sport. Wrestling's an entertainment and a hobby for people. I'd like to see more action done from people that have the power to make it happen. I'd like to see more money put into the mental health facilities for people that actually need it. I'd like to see less people waiting on hospital beds. Just more money for stuff that we need, and less money into politicians' pockets, I think, is what I'd like to see in 2020. And some more good wrestling. There we go. I can deal with the flips and bumps. That's not real life.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more stuff put into real life. That's my 2020's wish list, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to preach like Malcolm X, but that's just my honest opinion.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's a good way. I only asked for one, but I got a few from you there, but that's okay.
What would you like to see?
I'll let that slide. Because I asked for wrestling, and then we went into a whole different tangent.
And less flus.
Less flus, for sure. Yeah. Wrestling-wise, what I would like to see for 2020 is just more, it's just consistency in my storytelling.
Good.
Telling me, like, I want to be told why, not to be told, I don't want to be told why, but I want to understand why this is being put in front of my eyes right now.
Yeah.
I want to understand that, okay, there's a story behind doing this, and that's why we're going to do it. I see it too many times, like, I've said it so, we've talked about it before. You see it too many times, or just things are put out for no reason.
Yeah.
So, this is all brands. This is even down to, well, not even down to the indie, because it's very hard on the indie side of things, but for the main promotions, week to week, This is what I want to see. I want to see more consistency in storytelling of what I'm saying. I want there to be a reason why you're bringing people out there to put in front of a camera to wrestle each other.
Yeah.
And
more of the same from NXT.
More of the same. Like, we're getting it from NXT in the broader sense, which is what I like, you know? More locally wise, I'd like to see more Irish talent getting the exposure on the not national, but you know what I mean, the international stage. You know, because I think there are a lot of wrestlers here that deserve a chance to not just be this person that shows up on NXT UK for it. Like, we've seen the likes of Debbie Keitel, we've seen the likes of Michael May, which is fantastic for them to be on NXT UK. But I'd love to see them actually get a run. You know, I'd love to see some more Irish talent go. It doesn't even have to be. I'd love to see them over in America. You know, well, let's see some more over in America.
Well, let them take baby steps and let them learn the craft a bit more.
Not even in terms of baby steps. I think there's some there already that are ready.
There's ready, and then there's TV ready. There's a reason that these people get held back. Yeah. Not held back, that their weight. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Devlin is a perfect description of that, because now he's ready as a TV superstar.
Yeah.
He can't just throw every Tom, Dick and Harry in. And that's not like a disrespect to, you know, any of the names that you mentioned, because obviously it's not. I'm just saying their time will come. But you got to let the people that know what they're doing do it at the right time. Because there's certain things that they need to learn.
Yeah.
Becky and Finn weren't just thrown in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Finn was, because Finn was ready. But Becky was there for a long time and went through a lot of shit before we have the Becky Lynch that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So give it time, guys. Good things come to those who wait. And I would like to thank everybody for their support in 2019 and 2018, and the evolving thing that is Dynamo's Dozen. I have a team now behind me. You know, this started out with one man. Now we've got a team of about five or six guys. You know, to our artist, Peter Hardy, we're going to give him a shout out for the new graphics as well. You know, I want to shout out to Carl King Wall. I want to thank my sponsors, WrestleMania and Noel Hogan, and everyone that's involved there. I want to thank Carl King Wall, obviously. I want to thank Dara.
Double thank him.
I'm going to double thank him, yeah, because he's always been one of the guys, and we've got some new shit coming your way in 2020. Just think of the Four Horsemen and think no more, because we've got a brand new podcast coming your way soon, and more to come on that. I want to thank you, Dara, for joining the team recently. And is there anyone I've left out? Ted Irving, I mean, Jesus Christ, Ted. How could I forget Ted? Because, I mean, Ted has been with me now for a long time. And Ted has been with me pretty much since day one doing some of the rat work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's anything but that guy. He's actually a good friend and loyal guy and a confidant. And, yeah, I just want to thank everybody. So I think without further ado, I just love you all. And, happy 2019 and happy new year. Dynamo is over and out.